So we're up to page Chesamid Aleph, to 8a. We're at the two dots, the farthest down on the page. It starts Hazorek Es Ha'Even. Somebody throws a rock. You guys see where that is? If anybody finds it, maybe to point out to your neighbors where this is, I could maybe show you if you want to.
Before the Gemara. Okay.
Pardon me?
8a.
8a, probably the last 8a.
First word in line.
Right
here. Oh, you don't have two dots here? Somewhere around here. Here.
Isaiah can say projectile. Must be close. You want me to show you where it is there? Oh, this is in the wrong order. 8A4. No, no, it's probably 8A3. Yeah, right here. Okay. This one right over here.
Beautiful.
8A3 in the bottom right-hand side, for those of you who are following in art scroll. So, we said in the Mishnah yesterday that we were trying to compare, or really what we were trying to do is we were trying to understand why it said the word forest in this introductory phrase about the case of the axe, right? The pasuk said, Vasher Yovo Esreyehu Bayar. If he will come together with his friend into the forest, and then one of them suffers the axe blow, right? So the Mishnah, so this last point the Mishnah was trying to say, was that Abba Shaul said that just like we know that this whole process of wood chopping in the forest is an optional activity. This is not a mandatory activity that the Torah obligates somebody takes part in. So just like we see that chopping wood is an optional activity, so too, it's only going to result in exile. An inadvertent killing would only result in exile when the person who did the killing was involved in an optional activity. But if he was involved in a mandatory, obligatory activity, then he's not going to go to exile because he was doing something he was supposed to be doing to begin with. And they brought this case, or these three cases in the Mishnah, of a father who is chastising his son, or a Rebbe doing the same for his student, or the Shliach Beis Din, the messenger of Beis Din, who is doing the lashes whenever Beis Din rules there's a case of lashes. In either one of these three cases, the person who's doing the action is doing something he's allowed to be doing. Now, he's not supposed to be killing anybody, but he's allowed to be doing the action he's doing, and therefore, if it results in an accidental death, he's not going to go to exile, because it does not resemble the case in the Torah of wood chopping, which is an optional activity. Good? Okay. So we're going to try to analyze this statement in the Mishnah now. It says, Hazorek es ha'Even v'chulei, etc. If the person throws a rock, etc. Omer le hahu mei rabbanin l'rava. One of the rabbis asked, or said to Rava, Mimai, how do you know de mechtavas eitzim de reshus, that the verse was talking about a case of optional woodcutting? Maybe it was a case where it was an obligatory, a mitzvah woodcutting. Now, what is a mitzvah? Where is there ever?
Huh? For the Beit HaMikdash.
That maybe is one idea. They come up with two other. One for the Beit HaMikdash. Yeah. What do you mean by the Beit HaMikdash?
For the
Marechet. Right, the wood for the base, for the wood for the Mizbeach. Right, the wood to fuel the flames of the altar.
What do you think? Chopping wood.
You need wood off to fuel the oven for baking challah.
Okay, chopping wood to heat the home. If you're heating a home, isn't
that should be a mitzvah too? Okay, we'll have to see. We'll have to see what all these things are. Right, it's a mitzvah to keep yourself alive. Right, that's an important thing in Canada. Maybe not in Israel. It's not going to be as big of a mitzvah. Right. So let's see what the Gemara says. How do you know that this case of wood chopping was an optional case of wood chopping? Dilma, perhaps, machtavas eitzim de sukkah. Maybe he was chopping wood for his sukkah. That's one option here.
Oh, that's a good one.
Machtavas eitzim de ma'arachan. The one that's near said maybe he's chopping wood to fuel the altar of the temple. Va'afilu hachi, and even still, right, if that's what the Torah was talking about, that the guy was chopping wood for a mitzvah, even still, amarachman aligli, it says over there that the inadvertent killer should be exiled. Hashem says that person should be exiled. So maybe it's irrelevant whether or not it's the person was involved in an accident, optional action, or if he was involved in an obligatory action. Who cares? It shouldn't make any difference because we have no proof that the verse was talking about optional wood cutting. Maybe it was talking about obligatory wood cutting. Amarle, Rava responded back to this rabbi that asked him this question. He says, Kivan de imatza chatuv, if the person who was building the sukkah, or if the person who was collecting wood for the altar, found some wood that was already chopped, right? He found stuff that didn't need chopping, lav mitzvah, it wouldn't have been a mitzvah to go chop anymore, right? If you would have been able to find... if you wouldn't have been able to find this wood, so it wouldn't be a particular mitzvah for him to go get more.
If it was enough for what he needed.
Right. So hashtanami, so even still now, where he doesn't have any more wood, and he's going to need to chop more wood, lav mitzvah, you see that the act of chopping wood is not a mitzvah. If it was a mitzvah, you always have to do it, right? You know, whenever there's a mitzvah, it's not like, yeah, but I think that I got this thing taken care of. No, it's a mitzvah. You have to do it regardless. So you see from here that the act of chopping wood is not called a mitzvah. It's only a hechsher mitzvah. It's only a preparatory step that enables you to fulfill a mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah in and of itself. And therefore, since that act of chopping wood wouldn't be a mitzvah not for preparing wood for the altar, not for preparing wood for a sukkah, it's never an actual mitzvah to do the wood chopping. Therefore, we can say that there is no such case as chopping wood that's a mitzvah. We don't have any cases of chopping wood that are mitzvahs. They're only hechsher mitzvahs. Preparatory steps to prepare you for a mitzvah. So Rava's position is, do you know how I know that chopping wood in the verse was an optional chopping wood? Because there is no such case as chopping wood that is obligatory. There is no such case. You're telling me that we need wood sometimes for mitzvahs? Okay, well, chopping the wood is still not a mitzvah in and of itself. That act of chopping is not a mitzvah. It's just a hechsher mitzvah. It's just enabling you in the future to perform a mitzvah, which is a good thing, but it's not a mitzvah, and therefore I know that the chopping wood in the verse is optional, and therefore we can create this principle that just like there by the chopping wood, you only get exiled when you're doing something optional. So too in general, only when you're doing something optional. However, if you were actually doing a mitzvah, a real mitzvah, not a preparatory mitzvah, but a real mitzvah, then for sure you'd be exiled. For sure you would not be exiled. Okay, so that's Rava's approach. Rava's approach is chopping wood is not called a mitzvah. It's not called a mitzvah because sometimes you don't need to do it for the mitzvah.
Yep. But the reason we're talking about obligatory is because it has a bearing on whether you'll be exiled or not.
That's right.
But isn't it really, this is what I don't see, isn't it really obligatory to, let's say, to heat your home? Otherwise you're going to freeze to death.
It doesn't.
You still say it's optional.
If a person's got thick skin, and that's all it means, it means it's a mitzvah or not. Is it a mitzvah in all cases? Meaning, like we just said here, like you, this would answer your question too of heating the home. You know, sometimes it's summer and you don't need to heat your home, so therefore it's not really a mitzvah, right? Right. Sometimes a person is always hot, right? Like maybe some of our wives, I don't know, right? Right,
but it's winter,
right? The temperature, you don't have to heat it the same way for some people. Or sometimes you have to heat it more, or not put the air conditioner, whatever it is, right? Right. These are all subjective conditions, even though they would be necessary. They're not really in all cases necessary, just like the chopping of the wood is not necessary in all cases, like when you have wood already.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So since you can't say it's always true, you can't call it obligatory, it's an option. I choose to be involved in it right now because of the conditions.
Right. Yeah.
It's like if you're going to take somebody somewhere for a mitzvah and you're going to put gas in your car, that's
right.
Not a mitzvah.
Right. How am I going to do the mitzvah without getting there? How am I going to get there? Exactly. It's called a hechsher mitzvah, something that you're doing, which takes effort, and you wouldn't do if not for the mitzvah, but it's not actually the mitzvah, because you can see there's plenty of times where I could do the mitzvah without involving myself in the step.
So the conclusion is he's going in exile, or he's not?
The person who is doing an obligatory action at this step is not going into exile, according to Rava, because we have a precedent in the Torah of wood chopping.
Chopping wood.
Chopping wood, because that's optional,
yeah.
Right? That's optional, right? Good. Esave Ravina LaRava. Ravina challenged Rava on this principle that just because you don't need to do something always, it's not called a mitzvah. That's Rava's principle. If I don't need to always do it, it must be it's not a mitzvah in and of itself. So Ravina is going to challenge this idea that just because you don't always do something, it means it's not a mitzvah. The Mishnah said, Yatza ha'av ha'makez beno. The Mishnah said, this excludes the case of a father that's hitting his son, because that's obviously a mitzvah. Right, v'harav ha'roides talmida, or the Rebbe who's chastising his students. You guys are lucky. I'm nice, right?
Yeah.
Right. But right. This is apparently it's always a mitzvah to do. right? Ushliach Beis Din, and the guy who's applying the makos in Beis Din is always a mitzvah to do. So the Gemara has a problem with this. It says, why don't we just say, Lema, can't we just say, Kivan de Ilu Gamir, if the guy would learn his lesson without being hit, right? If I could teach the guy the lesson without him getting hit,
right.
Lav mitzvah, so it's not a mitzvah to hit the guy just for the sake of hitting him, right? Hashtanami, so that now too, even if he is not learning well, right, even the kid's not learning well, Lav mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah to hit him, right? Can't you say that same idea that, well, it's not always true that it's a good idea to hit the guy, so therefore it must be that hitting is never a mitzvah,
right?
That would be the same logic. Afal gav de gamir, no, excuse me, sorry. So Gemara answers and says, Hasam, no, that's different by the hitting. Hasam, afal gav de gamir mitzvah. There, even though he would have learned otherwise, it's still a mitzvah to hit him, right? It's always a mitzvah to hit, right? It's always a mitzvah to hit. Dichsiv, because the pasuk says in Mishlei, Yaser bincha, if you correct your child's ways, v'yanichecha, he will give you rest. V'yiten ma'adanim l'nafshecha, and he will give pleasures to your soul. Right, so it seems to apply that this is always the right thing to do. Now, you got to...
If you have a reason, that is.
Right. So the point is if you think that it's going to be destructive, right, it's going to actually cause the person to not listen if you engage. So then it's it's counterproductive hitting, and therefore that would not be advised there. But the point that we're saying over here is that it's always possible, right? It's always possible, unless for some certain extenuating circumstances, but it's always a recommended process to be correcting your child through this through this reprimand, right? And therefore, it's always a mitzvah, and you can't tell me that, oh, if you would have learned otherwise, it wouldn't be a mitzvah. No, it's always a mitzvah to correct your children. Okay. So that's how Rava defended himself. He said, yeah, I know the Mishnah makes it sound like there's some other cases there that aren't always mitzvahs, but those really are always mitzvahs. Okay, so the Gemara then continues, and then Rava says, Hadar am Rava, then Rava went back on what he said, and he said, Lav milsehi damri. What I just told you is not really the best answer. Meaning, it's true, I just defended myself, but I could come up with a much better answer. Meaning, what was his original issue that he was asked? He was saying, how do you know that chopping wood is optional? And his answer was that because it's only a preparatory mitzvah, as displayed by the fact that if you already had wood, you wouldn't need to do any more chopping. It's not really a mitzvah.
So now he said, would have to chop it, you see that? I mean, it's there because somebody already did the action.
No, it could have fallen off the tree.
So the original
it could have fallen off the
mitzvah.
Tree. No, it could have fallen off the tree.
Could.
Right? You could have lightning or you could have a windy day and there could be wood you find on the ground, right? When you go to the forest to build fires with your kids or whatever, right? You don't start chopping wood off the tree. You just gather up enough wood and you get enough, right?
Yeah.
Usually there's plenty to be gathered.
Yeah, that's true.
So what Rav is saying right now is I don't need to use that previous answer I gave you that I'll prove to you that chopping wood is not really a mitzvah because it's not always necessary. He's saying, I have a different approach. I have a different approach to prove to you that I know in this verse that we're talking about optional wood cutting and not mitzvah wood cutting. Because the pasuk says, V'asher yavo esreyehu bayar. Right now, the Gemara is understanding the translation of the word asher as if. So it's saying, and if he will come together with his friend into the forest. So the Gemara explains, de'iboy ayel, ve'iboy lo ayel. If he wants to go to the forest, he's allowed to, because it says if. And if he'll come with his friends to the forest, it makes it sound like if he wants to go chop wood, he can go. And if he doesn't want to chop wood, he doesn't have to go. So Rav is now changing, saying, I don't want to necessarily go down this argument of whether or not preparatory steps for mitzvahs are considered a mitzvah or not. Or whether you need to do that step, is it called a mitzvah or not? He's saying, we don't need to even get down that discussion here. So we could do that, and I defended myself, but we don't even need to go that way. We could take a much more simpler approach. The verse says, if he will come with his friend to the forest. That implies that what he's doing is an optional act and not a mandatory act, because it says if he'll come. It implies if he wants to come, he can come. If he doesn't want to come, he doesn't have to come. So Rava says, clearly off. From there, you see, we must be talking about a case of optional woodcutting, because the verse starts off by saying, if he will come with his friend to the forest. Yeah. Torah would not say, if he comes to his friend with the forest, if it's telling him he's got to do this because it's a mitzvah. It would not say the word if. Right. Yeah. Gemara speaks that out now. It says, v'isal kadaitach, and if you should think, mitzvah, that we're talking about a mitzvah here in this verse, misagi de lo ayil, would it be sufficient for him not to go? Right? Would the Torah give you that option of not fulfilling the mitzvah, of not going? Okay, so Rava's try number one, which he succeeded in both of his tries this time, but approach number one Rava has is that it's not called a mitzvah because it's not always necessary. That was approach number one. Chopping wood is not always necessary. Approach number two he's taking is that it may even be called a mitzvah. I don't even want to get into that conversation, whether it usually is a mitzvah chopping wood or it's not a mitzvah. But this case, the Torah is telling you, is a case where it is optional because it says if he wants to come with his friend to the forest.
He wouldn't have been there.
Yeah. Right. Omer le Rav Adda bar Ava le Rava. Rav Adda bar Ava asks Rava now. He says, is it really true that the word asher means if? Right? Is that really true that the word asher means if? If he wants to come with his friend to the forest? Kol hecha dechsiv asher. Is it really true that whenever the Torah says asher, right, this word asher, the iboyihu, that if he wants, it's dependent on his interest, right? If he wants to go or if he doesn't want to go? Elamiata here, we'll bring another case where we'll see this can't possibly be, right? Okay, so there's a normal case of a person who is tame, right? A person who's ritually impure. He's not allowed to go. Where is he not allowed to go? Beis HaMikdash, right? He can't go to the Azara, and if he does, there's a consequence of kares, right? Spiritual excision, right? This is not something to mess with, right? So Elamiata, what does the Pasuk say about this topic? The Pasuk says, V'ish asher yitma, a person, if, let's just go with our normal translation, right? Yeah. If a person will become tameh, he'll become ritually impure, velo yischata, and he will not correct himself, meaning he didn't get rid of his tumah, he didn't get rid of his impurity. Now, the rest of that verse says, he's if he comes into the temple, he's going to get kares. Right? That's what the rest of that pasuk says. So it says, if a person becomes tamei. Now, iboi mitzvah, iboi lo mitzvah, does this mean that if a person wants to, he could become tamei? If he didn't want to?
No, he has to. It's obligatory.
How did he become tamei?
Excuse me. This verse means a little bit different. Iboi lo mitzvah, meaning iboi mitzvah, iboi lo mitzvah. If he wants to come into the temple impure, he could. If he doesn't want to come into the temple impure, he doesn't have to. It's very funny to say he's giving him the option of what he wants to do here with this tumah, right? It seems like there's only one correct answer, which is you're not allowed to come to the temple. So why would it use this word asher? Yeah. So what the Gemara is asking a question on this whole premise that we're assuming that the word asher means if. It's saying, really, how do you know the word asher means if? Because in this context over here, it doesn't make sense to say it's an optional, the Torah is giving you two options.
Rabbi says if he becomes tamei, it doesn't say if he goes into the Beis HaMikdash.
It says if a man who is tamei and does not impure himself goes into the temple, right?
So the if is for if he comes to the temple.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. That's how Rashi's learning, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Mean when, not if.
Right, saying if he wants to get kares, he could get kares. If he doesn't want kares, he doesn't have to have. Right? Right? It's a funny, it would be a funny if here. So he says, I don't know about this whole premise that asher means if.
So we can learn from that then.
Excuse me. It actually is talking about the contraction of tumah. I mean, it's really hard to read this Rashi. But even here, so let's just read that one more time. I think I made a little bit of a mistake. Let's read that line one more time. So it says again, it says, Elamata, are you telling me the word asher means if? Mm-hmm. But the pasuk says, Ve'ish asher yitma, if a person wants, let's go with this way, if a person wants to make himself tameh, ve'lo yischata, and he doesn't get rid of the tumah, so then he can't come to the temple. Ibai mitzvah, ibai lo mitzvah, is it really true that if he wants to become tameh, he has the choice of whether or not to become tameh always? A person doesn't always have the choice of whether or not they want to become tameh.
Right.
Why? Mace mitzvah, de lo sagila, de lo matame. By a mace mitzvah, if a person finds a corpse on the side of the road, right, or an unattended to corpse, he's mechuyev, he's a chiyuv, a mitzvah, to go make sure that there's a burial taking place there. So would it be permissible for him not to contaminate himself and contract tumah by taking? He has to. He has no choice, right? So even that, right, you're telling me that in that case, Hachanami de Potter, you're telling me that guy would be exempt from the kares if he went to the temple, right? Just because he was obligated to do it, right? If he wants, it makes it sound like in the verse, if he wants to get the tumah, okay, so then if you go to the temple, you're but if you're forced to get the tumah, so then maybe you'll be okay if you go to the temple, right? Sumer says, no, that can't possibly be. We're assuming that that's not true. So this is a big kasha on our premise that the word asher means if. Because if it means if in the case of the forest, it should mean if over here too, and should tell you that just like in the forest, I had the option of whether I wanted to go chop wood. So to here, it must be only referring to a case of kares, for a case in which I chose to contract the tuma.
So it should be when a man becomes tama.
Right.
And does not purify himself.
Right.
The word there could mean, should mean,
should mean when. Not if, right. Not if. In this context, for sure it does.
In this context, so, yeah.
Right. So the Gemara says, no, we are actually right. The word asher does mean if, but in this particular case of the tuma, we have another pasuk which tells you that he doesn't have a choice, right? But you're right. If we only had these words in this pasuk, that if the person wanted to become tameh, he would be forbidden to come to the temple. So from this verse alone, you're right. All we would think is that it's only true in a case of optional tuma. But if he was forced to become tameh because he found a corpse on the side of the road. You're right. From this verse, we wouldn't know that he is forbidden to come to the temple. But we're lucky we have another verse here, right? But we're not. We're holding on to our principle that the word asher just means if, right? It just means if he wants, if he doesn't want.
So if the person who discovered the corpse on the side of the road is a kohen, so is he exempt?
It seems to be that he is exempt from this story.
The
but
only
yet
one
the
around, yes.
Yeah, there's a pasuk in Parshas Emor, right? To be in Parshas Emor, that he's only allowed to for his immediate family.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. I forget the actual halach here. I don't think that the Kohen's allowed to do that, though. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Okay. Shiny Hassan. So the Gemara says, nah, this case of the Tuma case, this is different. I mean, even though you're right, in this verse it seems like it's dependent on whether he wants to make himself Tameh or not. That will make dependent the prohibition of coming to the temple. It's not true, because we have an extra verse. Shiny Hasam over there by the Tumah, it's different. Damar Kra, because we have another Pasuk, which says, Tameh Yihyeh, that he will be Tameh, and these are extra words, right? Mikol Makom, in any case, meaning any type of Tumah that he has is going to make him prohibited to come to the temple, whether it's optional or whether it's obligatory. But we're sticking to our guns that first asher only implies the optional cases. We need this extra words in the verse to tell you that even if he's becoming tameh because he's obligated to, he still gets a karis when he comes to the temple. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, so the Gemara has one more issue over here. The Gemara says, Hahu meboilei lichtetanya. Yeah, but that word, that extra word of tameiya, he will be tamei, which we just learned to say that even somebody who is becoming tamei because of a meis mitzvah, he's forced to become tamei, he's still going to be getting karas when he comes to the temple. We learned that from the words tameiya. However, we have another source that seems to use those words for a different halacha, right? So how are we going to use it for two things? We can't use it for two things, so we're stuck, right? Because we're going to have a different lesson from those words. And the following braisa says, Tameh Yihyeh, he will be Tameh, the Rabos Tevul Yom, comes to include a Tevul Yom. Now, who's a Tevul Yom? Tevul Yom is the guy that is about to become Tahor, meaning he's allowed to become Tahor tonight. Whatever his period of impurity is ending today. So what he's allowed to do is he goes to the mikveh during the day, and then as soon as the sun goes down, he automatically becomes Tahor, right? So any case of tumah, right? A person who contracted any tumah, he touched something, right? Whatever it was, that's not a long-term tumah. Let's say it's a one-day tumah. So he just goes to the mikveh that day, and then as soon as sundown hits, and it's nighttime, he's automatically tahor. Same would be for a long-term tumah. Let's say there's a seven-day tumah, like a zav or a mitzvah or something like that. So on the seventh day, which is the last day of his tumah, he just goes to the mikveh on that day, and then the nighttime, he's already tahor, right? However, this guy who's gone to the mikvah already, right? He already went to the mikvah. That whole rest of the day, he's not fully tahor yet. There's things he's not called tameh for, but for most things, he's still totally tameh. And he's got this name called the Tvul Yom. He was tovel, right? Tovel in a mikvah, right? He dunked. Tvul, he was dunked yom on that day, right? That's called a Tvul Yom. Right, so a Tvul Yom, even though he already went to the mikvah, he's still Tameh. And if even the Tvul Yom comes to the base of Mikdash, he's also going to get Karas. He went to the mikvah, poor guy, already, right? He's still going to get Karas for going because the day of his last day of Tumah did not elapse yet. Right? He needs to wait till he gets sundown in order to be 100% covered.
So until sundown, he's still
until Sunday, until nighttime, he's still forbidden for coming to the temple. And how do we know that? From these same words, we just tried to learn something else, right? We're saying from the words tamayihye, we just tried to learn that the guy who is obligated to take care of a mace, right, to take care of a corpse, even though he's obligated, he's still going to get karis if he goes to the temple. But now we're learning something else from there. So this is really the Gemara's question: is we're forcing two things that you can't do this. This is not a fair game in Talmudic principles. You can't learn two things from one extra word in the Torah, right? So we're going to get to the answer in a second, but we're just finishing off this source. But we got the question already. The question was, we're trying to learn two things from these words tamei, he will be tamei. But there's the rest of that pasuk says, ode to Masobo while his tumah is still upon him. So from those words, to Masobo, his tumah is still on him. Larabos Mechusar Kippurim is coming to include another case of Kares, the guy who's called a Mechusar Kippurim. Now, Mechusar Kippurim is the next stage of the Tful Yom. Sometimes when a person is Tame and he goes to the mikvah, he also is obligated to completely remove all of his tumah. He's obligated to bring a korban. For example, like a Zav, right, someone who has an emission that is a ritually impure emission. So after his tumah ends, right, so the same process. That seventh day he'll go to the mikvah, and nighttime he'll be not tameh fully anymore, right? But he still has even now this guy is going to have lingering tumah because he's obligated to bring a korban on the next day. On the eighth day is the first opportunity he can bring a korban. So what he's called is mechusar kippurim. He's lacking kapara. Right, he's missing out on the full kapara that he needs to achieve in order to totally get rid of every last vestige of the tumah that was with him before. Right, so this guy, until the moment where he brings his korban, even he's not allowed to come to the Beis HaMikdash, right, or he gets karis too. Right, most of his tumah is gone. For most intensive purposes, he's tahor, this guy, because he went to the mikvah, night passed, sundown hit. For almost everything, he's tahor. Almost for everything except for this, that if he would still come to the temple, he would get a karis. He would get a karis until the moment where he brings his korban, and then he's 100% finished with whatever happened before. So we're saying now, these extra words in the verse, tumasobo, his tumah is still upon him, is coming to include this case of the mechusar kippurim, the guy who has not brought his korban yet, that he's also going to get karis when he comes to the temple. So again, the question was on the first one, though, of the Tevul Yom, right? Because we learned him from the same words we were trying to learn that the guy who is forced to become Tameh, yeah, right? The guy who has to contaminate himself for a mace. We learned that he is prohibited to come to the temple from the words Tameyihye. But we also learned from those same words, Tameyihye, that a Tevul Yom is not allowed to come into the Beis HaMikdash either. So which one is it? Are we learning the obligatory mitzvah guy, or are we learning the Tevul Yom from these words? Which way is it? Amar Leh, he said, Ana mi'od kamina. He said, yeah, but there's one more extra word in that pasuk. And nobody was careful with their words here, but there's really three places for drashos. There's another word of still, that his tumah is still with him, right? So that's really where the Tevul Yom is learned from the still part. So we have three parts, right? The first words are tameiyya. From tameiyya, we're going to learn that even though he's dealing with a mace mitzvah, he's forced to do this to become tameh here, he's still prohibited to come to the temple. The second words in the verse are ode, right? He's still tameh. Right, still is going on the Tevul Yom, the guy who went to the mikvah, but it's not nighttime yet that he can't come in. And then we have the last words, tumasobo, his tumah is with him, right? That is talking about the Mechusar Kippurim, the guy who has not yet brought his korban, that he is not. So we needed three sources in this one verse, because we have three unique cases, and we want to know that even in these three unique cases, the guy is still forbidden from coming to the temple by punishment of Karis. What time do you guys usually stop?
5:02.
Okay, I'll stop here because it's a good place to stop, and we'll pick it up here tomorrow.